Good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to be here this morning. My name is Jacob Howell. That was a little bit of an introduction. A little bit about myself. As y'all know, I went to East Central with Brother Scott. I graduated from there back in May. And I just, more than anything this morning, I want to thank y'all a lot. For allowing me to come worship with y'all this morning, bring the word. I am very new to this, so please bear with me as we get through it together. But this church really does hold a special place in my heart. I graduated back in May. In May, I left and went to southeastern Idaho to a place called Soda Springs, Idaho. It's a very small town. In very Mormon country, and I served as a summer missionary through the Mississippi Baptist Association. And y'all participated in a program that was Adopt a Summer Missionary is what it was called, and I was your summer missionary. From this church, I received many letters. I know there are people praying for me here, and that was just such a big encouragement. As I was up there by myself a lot of the times, and, you know, as I got lonely, when things got hard, I knew that I had people from not too far from my home that were praying for me, sending me gifts, and that even though y'all weren't there, y'all had the same goal in mind as me. Y'all wanted to see the gospel spread, and that really meant a lot to me. Now that happened and y'all did that for me, now I'm here and I get to stand before y'all and thank y'all in person. That's just a big full circle moment for me. So I'm so appreciative to y'all for letting me preach and for your prayers. If you will, open your Bible with me to Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. This morning we'll be going through this passage. It's a story Jesus gathered in the synagogue, healing the man with the withered hand. I'm sure most of you are familiar with this passage, so let's dive in. Starting, Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 6. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come and stand here." And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to destroy it?" And after looking around at them all, he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so. And his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to have the chance this morning to gather with these people and bring your word. Lord, I pray that as we dive into this, you would hide me behind yourself, Lord. I pray that you are exalted this morning and that we are changed because of your word. Amen. So, reason I chose this passage is this is probably my favorite passage of all time. It's just so rich, full of stuff. When you really get to looking into it, there's so much stuff you can draw from it.
We can see in verse
8 and 10, we can see Jesus' divinity, that he is truthfully God. He knew the thoughts of the religious leaders without them having to say a word. He healed this man without even touching him. Just his word healed him. We can also see, based on this in the passage before, the importance of the Sabbath. We see that Jesus and his disciples practiced the Sabbath. And the importance of it. We also, from these passages, learn like what the Sabbath actually is versus what the law of the people were at the time. And as we reflect on our own Sabbath, we can learn how we should observe the Sabbath. But specifically this morning, I want to look at the healing of this man. I specifically chose Luke to look at this. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have accounts of this message. And they're all slightly different, but they're really all the same. But let's look here in verse 6. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching a man and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. Luke is the only one that records this account in his gospel. And I think it's kind of an interesting thing. I think this would have been something Luke would have noticed because by trade he was a physician. He was a doctor. So it would have been something he had picked up on. And looking at it, the first time I kind of scanned over it, but what was the importance of his right hand? So I got to thinking. One day I was at work. I was like, you know, how important is my right hand to me? You know, on a day-to-day basis, it's my dominant hand. More than likely it was his dominant hand. And, like, so much I do with my right hand. I would have to learn how to redo life, how to write with my left hand, how to eat with my left hand. All of my work that I do, I'd have to learn how to do it with my left hand. So we really see from this verse the condition of this man. And kind of for me, I just imagine myself one day being in this man's shoes. One day I had to go just one hand, could not use the other one. But then also, I find that this would be very culturally significant. If you know anything about the culture of the time, your right hand was considered your very clean hand, and your left hand was considered your dirty hand. You did all your dirty stuff, work, everything dirty with your left hand, and everything with your right hand was clean. This was as far as eating. So if you ate with your left hand, it was considered pretty disgusting, and you were looked at as disgusting from other people. If you greeted people with your left hand, it was kind of disrespectful, because that was your dirty hand. Also, if you passed a plate of food to someone with your left hand, it's your dirty hand. So I mean, we kind of gather the condition of this man, not only in his own personal life, but what people would have probably thought about him. Could you imagine just being this man for a second? The people probably know who he is. It's probably a small group of people like this, and they know that this man, he's a little disgusting. He's kind of weird. You don't want to mess with that guy. Anyway, we see in verse 7, and the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath. So everyone in the building knows that this man is here. He's not announced his presence, but they know who he is, and they know that Jesus has the power to heal him. But they are wanting Jesus to heal him so that they, we see at the end of verse 7, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. This is just kind of seeing more of the condition of this man. We see not his own personal life, but his image with others. He probably felt a lot of shame from that. I kind of put myself in this man's shoes almost when looking at this. It really doesn't seem like a too good of a place to be in. And then we move on to verse 8. But he, being Jesus, knew their thoughts. He knew the thoughts of everyone in the room, that they wanted to see him heal this man so that they could accuse him and turn against him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come and stand here." I think this phrase is kind of interesting because it kind of signifies that it had to have been close, being in a smaller room. But he wasn't one of the ones that was right up there at front close to Jesus. Probably in his shame, hiding in the back. People obviously, they knew he was there, but Jesus had to command him to come. I found that kind of interesting point that he probably wasn't in with the circle being close to Jesus. And he rose and stood there. He followed the command of the Lord. And then in verse 9, and Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?" So we look at this. We see the condition of the man, and we see the thoughts of the religious leaders. And Jesus stands before them all and says, "Hey, what's really worse? That I save this man's life on the Sabbath? That I restore him back to the condition that he was, that I designed him to live? Or is it worse that on my day you want to turn against me and accuse me?" He's really digging into this. Even though he's addressing the congregation, I really feel like this was directed a lot at the Pharisees. Because he knew their thoughts. He knew that they wanted to turn against him. And he wanted to save this man. I think that's just kind of an interesting statement that he makes here. Because it really digs into, you know, what he's trying to address in these two passages of, you know, what are we supposed to do on the Sabbath? You know, they had taken it and they had made their own rules that made it really hard to follow Jesus or to follow God. And Jesus was coming and trying to flip that on its head. And then in verse 10, and after looking around at them all, he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so. And his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and disgusted with one another what they might do to Jesus. And so in this moment, he sees the condition of this man. He calls this man to come. He addresses the crowd on what is the right and wrong thing to do in this situation. What is really worse? And then he heals this man. I find this passage unique because it's one of the passages that Jesus doesn't actually touch the person. The person doesn't actually touch them. Just the power of his words healed this man. He told the man, "Give me your hand," and it was restored. Just that little action. And the more and more as I looked at this passage and I saw the condition of this man and I saw the healing of this man, the more and more I have found myself to be like this man, where in my life maybe I had a sin or something that was forcing me to live, to relearn how to live life apart from the design that God intended me to. And Jesus calls me out of it and heals me. And I have a feeling today that many of you have seen that and have been through that. But also, it's probably many of us in that room that are this man, who are coming today, who are carrying that shame around with them, who, you know, have had to relearn how to live life apart from God's will. And I just want to offer some encouragement in that. There is healing for you here. We serve the same Jesus. He's still alive and with us today. And he is inviting you to a relationship with him. And I know it's really short. That's really what I felt like the Lord was calling me to today. So I just want to take a moment. I'll ask the musician to come back up. I want us to take a moment to observe in our own life, our own withered hand, to find ourselves in areas that we need to look to Jesus for healing so that he can restore us in a right relationship with him. And so as we go into this time of invitation, I invite you strongly to come up here to the front. We'll be up here. If you need to come talk, we would love to have a conversation with you about what that truthfully means. To follow Jesus and to give your life to Jesus. To come and bring your shame to him so that he may take it and make you whole again. So if you would, pray with me. Look into our own lives this morning and find where we are. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for offering us healing, Lord. For sending your son to die on a cross. That we may have healing in you, Lord. Thank you for seeing us that even in our lowest moment, you want to restore us into a right relationship with you. Lord, I pray that in this room today, people find themselves in this situation, longing for you. And that I pray that they recognize that you are calling them, Lord. I pray that they would come now and do business with you, Lord. If they need to have a conversation, pray that they would find someone in this room to talk to and to find healing in you, Lord.
Thank you for watching and being with us today. We're so glad you joined us, and we invite you to come back and join us next week.